crimed. Check it out in the Crimecast. I am Lux.
And I am Meg.
And we both went boop when we hit record. So that's what this giggling is about.
Great minds think alike, mate.
Oh, yeah. this week, it is Halloween. It is Halloween. 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 Except it's not this week, but it's this month, bitches. Yeah.
It's the spooky month.
Meg, what are you doing for Halloween? Because I know it's a weekday, so you can't like get drunk or anything, but are you at least like dressing up?
Is it a weekday?
Yeah, it's on a Wednesday.
Oh, fuck. I don't know. I've not made any plans. I don't think I did anything last year either, actually.
Mate.
I need to do something. What are you doing this year? Yeah,
so,
go on.
So last year, I spent about a week sewing a bird person costume for Sam, and I went as Tammy.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, and I had, it was the wedding scene, so I had like the acorn ring and everything. Yeah, it was brilliant. And this year, I went to a vintage fair yesterday and I bought a high-waisted leather skirt and I've got a black crop top which says Satan was a lady on it, and I've ordered some black devil horns, and I'm just going to do a bunch of satanic makeup and order some pentagram earrings, and I'm just going to be, oh, I've got six-inch faux leather heels as well.
Jeez.
So I'm going to be slutty Satan and I'm excited.
That sounds really fun. Oh, maybe I should find something to do then. I've not been out in ages.
Yeah. Ooh, if you want to go out the weekend after Halloween and carry on being spooky, I'll come. I'm literally
always
up for dressing
up. There's definitely something going on near me. Okay, yes. Yeah, we'll do it. This is fun.
Fucking love dressing up.
Good.
I will post my slutty Satan, don't you worry, everyone. You'll get to see me all tarted up. It'll be great.
Do it.
So this week and next week, what we're doing is something very special. It is essentially, you know how we do Monster Mash and... Yeah, we're going to be talking about the people who we base these Monster Mashes off. So the OG serial killers.
The big boys.
The big boys. And this week, it's Meg doing a big boy.
So basically, how this came about was, I don't actually know about the big ones. I know loads of weird little ones and I've watched loads of TV shows, but I don't actually really know who anyone is or what they did, just their names. So maybe I should learn it, and maybe we should do a special one where I go away and learn it and tell you guys about it, and you're gonna be like, I know this because it's obvious to everyone else but not me.
However, you have picked a good one, because this is the one that I always forget. I'm always like, is that the one whose dad had no legs and sold pencils by the railway? And everyone's like, yeah. And then I'm like, great. I have no idea what he did. I just know that odd fact about his life. That's all I know.
That did happen. And I didn't know that. So I was having a whale of a time doing my research. I can see why he's a big boy, because this is a fucking like wild ride.
Oh, yeah?
I can't believe it. Yeah, it's insane.
So before you reveal, people have probably guessed by now, but before you reveal, we have some shout out to do.
Yep.
Shout out. So on Patreon, thank you to Reagan Mantica. On iTunes, thank you to Smurfington 101 and to Melissa and to Chocolate Phantom. And a very special thank you to our mate Ellis, who bought a t-shirt and he looks fit in it.
He looks so good.
Has your mug arrived yet?
No, it hasn't come yet.
My tote bag arrived yesterday and it is beautiful.
It looks nice. I did see that.
And it's the lining is so nice in it as well. All right. Nice. Okay, I'm doing a drum roll. Who's your big boy?
It is Henry Lee Lucas.
Whoop whoop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not really, you can't really do a Monster Mash with this because
that's the thing.
He is. So I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm going to start, obviously, right, just a quick one. I realised halfway through this, I have definitely listened to the last podcast on the left, Do Henry Lee Lucas. But
yeah, they've done like
where I've listened to like every fucking episode, it just all turns into one big thing in my head. So So if you do know this, I'm sorry, you probably know all of this. But I hope I can make it at least a little bit interesting.
It's all right. People will know my guy for next week anyway.
Oh, that's
or,
true.
Wait, are you talking to me or are you talking to the audience?
Oh, both.
Because I genuinely can't remember what Henry Lee Lucas did, and my guy
hopefully
for next week.
Hopefully, no one else can.
Last podcast also did like a three-parter on him.
Yeah, I remember.
You know what? I'm going to do him anyway, because I read a whole book about it and people can just suck it up, you know?
But yeah, so to what I was trying to say was, this might either be really long or actually too short. I didn't say enough. So we'll just see. Right.
We can always chat about Netflix afterwards.
Yeah, we definitely will anyway.
Yeah.
So, on to his early life. Right. Henry Lee Lucas was born in 1936 in Blacksburg, Virginia. Now, he had the shittest upbringing. He was born to alcoholic parents. His mum was a sex worker on the side to make extra money. lived in a cabin with no running water and no toilets either. So where did
they have an outhouse or something? Or is that information just like nobody wants to know?
Well, I'm assuming they have an outhouse because I remember my nan and granddad used to have an outdoors toilet as well as an indoors one. It used to be like a thing. So it would have been like a little, like a Shrek hut, I'm assuming. You know,
Shrek hut.
Yeah, with a moon on the door.
Get out, Miss Swamp.
Aww. Right. I love his fucking dad. It's hilarious. So his dad is called Anderson No Legs Lucas. He lost his legs. It's not funny, but it is. He lost his legs, unfortunately, in a workplace accident. It says that he lost them by railroad, which I think is a nice way of saying he got run the fuck over by a train.
Oh. How is that a workplace accident?
I'm assuming he worked on the railroad from, yeah.
But like, seems you to be what see the train coming.
Exactly.
Oh, but he was a drunk, to
be fair.
An
alcoholic.
So he might have like passed out on the rails. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that is generally the consensus, is he passed out on the rails because he worked there and just passed out.
it's not funny, but it's very funny.
No, it's even, it gets worse. So then he was forced to make a living selling alcohol. So he can't win. Alcohol makes you lose your legs, and then because you lose your legs, you got to sell illegal alcohol. So like moonshine and stuff.
I thought he sold those mini IKEA pencils. Obviously not from IKEA, but I thought he sold pencils.
Last podcast said that as well. So,
but was that a joke? Maybe
he's not just a one-trick pony.
Oh,
I didn't. I forgot about the pencils. Yeah, I forgot about the pencils till you mentioned it, actually. So I didn't think to Google it. But yeah, well, he sold something, and he had no legs, and he was an alcoholic. Now, Henry's mother dressed him up as a little girl, and in his own words, he was treated like the dog of the family. He was beaten violently by his parents, and he was the youngest of 9 children. Just a content warning here, before I go on any further, there will be mentions of child molesting, sexual abuse, graphic descriptions of murder, and just some not very pleasant things. So there's
someone who hates it when people talk about bad things happening to kids. You've picked a really bad case of child abuse.
Mate, I didn't realise I was halfway through it and I was in too deep. I didn't want to have to redo a different case. So here I am,
fair enough.
Victim of my own laziness, pretty much. When he was 8 years old, this is insane, he was beaten in the head with a wooden plank so hard that he was in a coma for 3 days.
Oh my God.
At 8 years old. But I know that, so you know in movies when people get knocked out, like pistol whipped or whatever, and they wake up like 10 hours later. Like if you actually had passed out for 10 hours due to being hit on the head, you would not be the same person you were when you were knocked out.
No.
So the fact that he was in a coma for 3 days suggests that probably had a large impact on the rest of his life.
Did you do psychology at AS? Or is that just... Yeah. Did you guys do that case of the guy who had a pole through his brain and then afterwards he was like a completely different person and super like aggressive all the time?
Yes. Have you heard? This also fits in with philosophy because I did a lot of stuff on free will. Mm. There was a case where a guy basically out of nowhere started getting like paedophilic tendencies and being really violent towards his wife, and they broke up because of it. Found out that he was diagnosed with a brain tumour. Once the tumour was removed...
Oh, I think I've heard this, actually.
Yeah. He went back to being normal, just his normal, placid, non-paedophile self, right? And then something like 5 or 10 years later, he started getting paedophilic tendencies again. So he went back to the doctors and he had another brain tumour in the same place.
That's so weird.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
So yeah, essentially, I think the point that we're trying to get across here is stuff to your brain fucks you up and changes who you are as a person. And let alone when you're 8 years old and you're not even a real person yet. So this must have really, yeesh.
Yeah, not good for him at all, to put it that way. She would also make Henry have sex with her lover, who she called Uncle Bernie, which is the creepiest fucking name you could give to, you know, your other half who you get to have sex with your child. It's just weird. Along with a number of other strange men as well.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but essentially she would watch and she'd encourage it. She'd leave them alone together. And she also encouraged him to have sex with other strange men, often when he was dressed up as a little girl.
Oh.
Yeah, right? It's gross, isn't it?
Yeah.
But even like, but she just does the most ridiculous sadistic shit for no fucking reason. So Henry's uncle gave him a mule, like a donkey, as a present for, I don't fucking understand it, as the 30s, whatever. Very cute though. He loved the mule, and she shot and killed it for fun, I'm assuming. And then she beat the shit out of him for getting a teddy bear from school. Like, it's just, it. None of this even makes, you know, there's no like, there's no correlation or causation. She's just doing it for fun. That's it. She's a disgusting person.
I mean, on the one hand, I want to be like, okay, she's an alcoholic and so's her partner. Yeah. Maybe she's had some shit going in her past. Maybe that's what's making her such a bitch. But at the same time, like, just...
But she shot the donkey for no reason. It. Like,
I know.
It wasn't
yeah.
like, oh, he misbehaved, so I'm going to punish him. No, there was no mention of that. She just did it for fun.
Yeah, it's kind of inexcusable, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, all of this actually is pretty inexcusable.
Yeah.
When he was 10 years old, Henry's older brother fucked up his eye during a fight because they were just play fighting. Well, obviously not play fighting if his eye got fucked. And his mum just ignored it until it was beyond fixable and super infected, and he ended up with a glass eye in the end.
Oh, yes, I remember this now, because then later on when he gets his sidekick, who's weird, which I won't spoil, but he's the one with the glass eye and his sidekick's like the weird guy for another reason.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, and it's like a caricature type thing. I remember having that mental image. Mm.
So Henry's sexual deviancy was clearly developed in earlier years from this. He also reported having sex with his older half-brother and dead animals.
Oh, God.
Which Uncle Bernie and his half-brother introduced him to. And they also introduced him to animal torture, which is one of the three things in the McDonald triad, which has been
also, it's yeah. not... I'm guessing that he goes on to do some fucked up murder and sex yeah. shit. So I'm guessing that's an early link in his brain between I have sex with animals and I torture and kill them, you know? I'm guessing that's yeah. a pretty easy link to draw between that and what happens in the future.
I mean, compared with the case I did last week, actually, his crimes aren't as sexually motivated, or at least they're not as weirdly sexually violent. They're a little bit more run-of-the-mill kind of thing. But it's just the way that he acts about it, which is the weirdest part. So in 1949, his dad dies after passing out drunk in a blizzard because he's got no legs. He just passes out.
He's got no legs.
Yeah, no, he just passes out drunk in a fucking blizzard. And that's that. You can't, you know, it's hard to see him, I guess, because he's just a top half. So that was the end of that.
Because he's just the top half. Hard to see him, isn't
it's just
it?
It's just the mental image though, like we've all been there, you're on a night out walking home, but he just gave up halfway and passed out in a blizzard. Fucking idiot.
And no one could see him. Yeah,
fucking idiot.
That makes sense.
Now Lucas states that aged 14 or 15 roughly, he had his first sexual experience with a girl. He says that he abducted an unknown teenage girl from a bus stop, beat her unconscious, and then raped her. He said that he strangled her to death as well. And some sources have named her as a 17-year-old called Laura Burnley, who disappeared at that year. But as we'll find out later on...
Wait, sorry, how old is Henry at this point?
14 or 15.
And she's 17? Yep.
Well, presumably, because as we'll find out as I go on, he's a fucking liar.
Okay.
Basically, is the crux of this story. So, yeah, that's him saying that. But just for some background, right, his earlier is, but we don't actually know. 1 year later, when he's 16, 15-ish... he and his two brothers are jailed for burglary for a short amount of time. I think it was a year and a half or 2 years, depending where you look for it. And then he was arrested a few years later for the same thing. So clearly not got any better at it. And he was arrested in jail for 6 years.
Mm.
So that was his like sort of teenage years. So in 1960, he's jailed for killing his mum. So here's what happened. They had a big argument because basically she said, I'm getting old. You're going to have to come home and look after me soon. Don't know why him, because he's the youngest of nine.
I was going to say, surely she can ask one of the others that maybe she didn't make a bunch of men rape and dress up as a girl. Yeah. Like, surely they'd be more inclined. Or maybe she was equally as horrific to all of them. Who knows?
I wouldn't be surprised. It didn't mention that because I don't think Henry ever spoke about his other siblings in that way. But fuck knows what that's about. But, you know, she could have chosen any out of nine, really. But she chose him. And he was like, no, mum, I don't want to do that. You're a fucking vile person. No.
Completely fair enough.
Yeah. So he said that she hit him over the head with a broom in retaliation. So what he does in return is he stabs her in the neck, which I feel like is probably a bit of an overreaction there.
But at the same time, if it's the anger accumulating years of abuse, I don't blame him for that one.
Exactly. Exactly. Lucas then ran away, right? And he said later on, this is a quote, when asked what happened with his mum, "All I remember was slapping her alongside the neck, but after I did that, I saw her fall and I decided to grab her. But she fell to the floor, and when I went to pick her back up, I realised she was dead. Then I noticed that I had my knife in my hand and she'd been cut." Now,
that sounds kind of like a lie.
It does. It does sound like a lie. "Oh, I didn't mean to stab him. It just, I just had a knife in my hand.
I thought I slapped her, but then there was a knife there with my slap. It's... So it was actually a stab, I guess, maybe?
It was a knife slap. It wasn't a stab." But she wasn't actually dead. Lucas's half-sister, Opal, returned home, and she discovered the mother alive. But it was too late at that point. They couldn't save her. So she pretty much just was on the floor waiting. Official police report states that she actually died of a heart attack that was brought on by the, you know, the argument and the shock of the stab. And they bring in Henry because they know it's him, because obviously Opal, he was staying with Opal, his sister, at the time. That's where this whole thing happened. And she was like, "Oh, it was definitely him, mate." He tries to claim self-defense, but it obviously didn't work because they were like, "She hit you with a broom, mate. She's a frail old lady and you knife slapped her. Like, that's not allowed."
Yeah, I mean, that's not... He could have just run away, you know? He's a big boy now. Yeah, his dad has no legs, not him. He can run.
Exactly. He doesn't run in the family.
No, his dad didn't run in the family.
I was trying to get there. So they sentenced him essentially to between 20 and 40 years, right? But he attempted suicide twice, so he got moved to a mental hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And he left the mental hospital after only 10 years because of overcrowding. This was a big problem.
No, did they let him out?
Yeah. They were like, "See you later, mate. Gotta save your bed for someone else. You probably won't do it again, will you?" And he was like, "No, I won't do it again.
I promise."
Twiddling his mustache, "I promise," and just ran away with a cape on or something. So that was 10 years after he was arrested in 1960. So now it's 1970. And he goes pretty much straight back into jail for attempting the kidnap of a 15-year-old girl. He attempted to kidnap her at gunpoint. I couldn't actually find that much detail about this. Maybe I've missed something here, but it seems to be that he said that he did it and they had some sort of proof so that they got him on it. But she got away because it's attempted kidnap.
So he confessed to this or like after he was caught in the long run, or he confessed at the time?
I think he confessed at the time because he was jailed for 5 years.
Okay.
But that's an assumption because it didn't state that he admitted to it. He was never, like, in the end, when they were looking at all his crimes in total, mm-hmm. he wasn't tried for any of the kidnapping or anything like that. They just went for the murders because it would have been a fucking ball ache, pretty much.
Yeah.
Is the gist that I get. He's released 5 years later in 1975, and he goes to work on a mushroom farm. Natural conclusion, once you leave prison, to go to the mushroom farm.
Is that even a thing?
Apparently. I didn't think they had farms for mushrooms, but I guess it makes sense because how would you get them otherwise?
I just didn't assume they were that big a thing that you needed a whole farm for them. You know, potatoes, well,
I buy mushrooms every food shop, mate.
Do you?
I don't know what you're talking about. They're a big thing in my house. Yeah, bloody love mushrooms.
Disgusting. No. They're so slimy. I don't like it.
I love it. I love the slime. Right. So he goes to work on a mushroom farm, right? And he marries the widow of his cousin, Betty Crawford. Which is weird in and of itself. But actually, have you watched, it's like a Three Wives, One Husband show on Netflix?
Is this the one where it's like a doomsday type thing and they interview like the three wives and one of them's like pregnant and is having a baby and they're all like, "Yeah, we're fine with it." But one of them's like really jealous of the others. Yeah.
And
is it that one?
Mean text. Yeah. And they all live in Holden Rocks. It's fucking brilliant.
Yes. I love that show so much.
I'm going to rewatch it, mate. I think it was great. I love how they have like a bazillion kids that just clamber on everything and beat the shit out of each other in the background of the scenes. I think it's hilarious.
And then isn't there one that like wants to get married or something, but they have to do it by the rules and shit. And they're like, oh, he's an outsider. We have to bring him in and see if he gets on with this way of life and all of that stuff.
Yeah, because he's a Mormon from Salt Lake City and he's 16, but he dresses like a 50-year-old cowboy. It's fucking hilarious.
It's a great
show. So if you've not watched it,
what's it
go
called?
Watch it because it... I will find
Should
it.
Should we put it in the show notes? History.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes. It's Three Wives something. It's about... But to be specific about it, it's about Mormons. And they argue that you got to have loads of wives because of like polygamy and shit. But the reason I brought it up was because one of the guy's brothers dies and he pretty much just adopts the wives in. It was like accepted that that's what you do, is a looking after thing. So I don't know if it was that, because it's a long time ago, but it's actually only the 70s. Maybe it was more of an incest thing. I don't really know why he...
Maybe it's
a
more of a, she didn't know any other people that were men.
She's busy on a mushroom farm, doesn't get out much.
Yeah. Maybe. And then he's a there that's a man who's like, I'll marry her. And she's like, all right then. Because there's no other men on.
All men are shit, it'll do.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
All men are shit, it'll do.
And so everything's cool.
That just registered.
It'll do, you'll do. They're all the same, basically. All got dicks. Right. But then, and they're having a great time, fucking harvesting mushrooms and shit, being married, being weird. But then she accuses him of molesting her two daughters. And he's like, right, see ya, and runs away. He begins
so he probably
a drifter
did
lifestyle.
Do it though, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think he did. He never, I didn't find anything where he denied it, or, but he obviously wasn't sticking around long enough to get caught either.
Yeah.
So he begins his drifter lifestyle, which is a big part of his life. He does this a couple of times. He goes, oh shit, and runs away to fucking ride the trains or whatever for how many years. This marks the beginning of, by his account, a long string of murders. Now...
Okay, let's get into it.
This is where it gets cool. So, in 1976, at a soup kitchen, he meets a man called Otis Toole, a fellow sexual deviant from Jacksonville, Florida. Right. Otis Toole is... just an unbelievable person. When you like, I'm going to tell you about his background and what he did, because he goes on, once him and Lucas stop like hanging out, he goes off to do shitloads of other murders, and he actually like probably did as many as Lucas in total. Like it's really interesting what happens with him, and he's also a hilarious person.
Can we bring up the cross-dressing now, or have you got that for later?
Oh, I didn't find anything on cross-dressing. I literally didn't see it mentioned anywhere. I remember it from the podcast. Wait, well, I should mention it now. I remember it from the... Because I remember reading this and being like, why haven't they mentioned that? Because it's actually debatable whether they were in a gay relationship at all. Looking at it...
And also,
he's
one of my prime examples of maybe if the internet had been around and he'd been able to find other cross-dressers and maybe find out whether or not he was trans and maybe find a support system, maybe he wouldn't have turned so violent.
Yeah, literally.
He's my go-to with, like, maybe the internet could have saved him kind of thing. Because, in my opinion, I think he was probably trans and just confused and was taking out the anger on the world not accepting him.
Yes and no. Because I have actually looked it up just now because it wasn't mentioned. It's quite contentious as to what actually happened. He was quite disabled. So... Okay, I'm going to go through the entirety of his background, then we can talk about it afterwards, because there's lots of aspects to this. He was born in 1947, right? And Toole actually had an IQ of 75. So that's dangerously low. That's Homer Simpson kind of levels, like not very able to deal with the wider adult world very well. He was known to suffer from acute epilepsy as well, which left him prone to violent seizures.
That's horrible.
In his youth, he became an arsonist, and he reportedly actually achieved like sexual arousal from flames, like a proper pyromaniac, which is interesting. Whatever, you know, you do.
Whatever floats your boat.
That's cool. He was raised in a really similar like background to Lucas in terms of sexual abuse from a young age. And he attributes this to coming out gay at a young age. He says that he came out as gay and they harassed him and sexually abused him for it. He also says that his grandmother was a Satanist who taught him self-mutilation and grave robbing, which is...
Oh, I want to hear more about that old
granny.
Lady.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's cool, isn't it? But so I looked it up. He pretty much just said it and then you can't prove it. But he says that she was a member of a satanic cult and forced him to join in devil worshipping practices like animal sacrifices. But this is the issue. For everything that he says that seems true, there's a couple which don't seem true.
Okay.
So by early adolescence, Tool was starting sexual relationships with other young men. He dropped out of school and began frequenting gay bars. He became a male sex worker later on in his teenage years. It was during this time that Tool says he killed his first victim when he was 14 years old. He says that he mowed down a traveling salesman with a car when he was just 14. But there's no proof of that.
14-year-olds even allowed to drive? I guess he doesn't really care about the law. That's not really the issue here.
Is that legal? The first thing he got arrested for was loitering at the age of 17. So, like, I don't know how realistic that sounds, to be honest, because I feel like if a 14-year-old killed a bloke,
hear about it.
Yeah, you probably fucking find out. Because obviously he didn't get along with his family or anything like that, he became a drifter. Getting on to the cross-dressing thing, it says that he was actually forced to cross-dress when he was younger by his mum.
Just like Henry.
Yeah, in a way of, oh, if you like men, you must be a girl then, kind of way.
Right.
But from what I remember from last podcast episode, it was very much instigated by him, and he would do it into his later years as well.
Yeah, he'd carry it on.
Exactly. But I can't find that, actually. I know they read books and shit, which I don't, you know, have a lot of time for at the moment. So it is, I'm going to trust them on that, and that he probably did. Because Lucas and Tool do begin a romantic sexual relationship together, which is good. Good on them, you know?
It's a hard time to be gay. This part actually adorable. They've both had horrible childhoods. They both turn into drifters and fall in love. This bit is the start of a great romantic movie.
It's really cute. Riding the trains together, holding hands and shit. It's really nice. Lucas says that he claims they committed 108 crimes together, right? Sometimes on the orders of a satanic, cannibalistic cult called the Hands of Death. Hands of Death. But okay, right. Go away and Google it, right? The only thing you'll find is Henry Lee Lucas saying that this cult exists. There's nothing online. The police at the time were like, that's bullshit. We've never heard of that. No other crimes have taken place as part of this cult. Where even is the cult? You don't know. Then it doesn't exist, mate. You've made this up.
Every single thing is about Henry Lee Lucas. Yep. Every single Hand of Death thing.
Exactly. Because I was like, oh, sick, cults. I love cults. Looked it up. Nah, it's bullshit. So, all right, fine.
God damn it.
And we'll find out later that Lucas is interested in cults and likes to think he's involved with them, even though he's definitely fucking not. So we'll talk about that later. Now, this bit's fucking hilarious. Lucas says that Tool loved to crucify people. That was not funny. Fine. He liked to crucify people and barbecue and eat the bodies afterwards. Okay, that's where the cannibalism comes in. Now, Lucas, when asked...
That's when the cannibalism started.
Yeah, nice. Nice. Now, when asked if he partook in cannibalism, Lucas said that he didn't eat the bodies because he doesn't like barbecue sauce. Which, it's gotta be bullshit, because... where's he from? Is he from Texas too? Oh, Virginia.
He's from Virginia, but... Who doesn't like barbecue sauce? I'm sorry, fussiest eater on the planet, but it is smoky and delicious.
Literally.
He's lying.
I don't believe him. So, yeah, he's like, no, I didn't do it. I couldn't have eaten them because I don't like the sauce that was on them. That's it. It's like, all right, mate, you just fucking lie now.
And also, surely he would have just been like, artist mate, don't put the sauce on my portion.
Yeah, it's literally. Oh, mate, can you make mine without? Do you mind?
Yeah. I'll have my sauce on the side, please.
Fuck's sake. So that sounds like bullshit, right? And on top of that, out of the 108 crimes they said they did together, they don't have any evidence for that. They can't find the people that went missing. They don't have anything to back it up with. And none of the murders he confessed to that actually did happen, that he did, were committed in that way. Or they couldn't find a single case where they could pin Tool and Lucas to it that were committed as crucifixion or cannibalism. So he's just fucking lying.
Is this a classic case of serial killers going, yeah, I did loads of them, mate, and they were really hardcore because they got caught and they want to seem like a big boy.
Yes,
but
and
actually,
they want
attention. They're just standard plain Jane murderers.
Yeah, definitely. Because think about it, Lucas, his whole life, well, growing up anyway, was the runt of the litter, treated like shit, like the family dog in his own words. No one ever gave a fuck about him until he met Tool. And he realised that, oh, I can be whoever I want to be and people will like me, because he would tell Tool of all the fucked up shit he did when he was younger and how he killed his mum, and Tool was obviously still in love with him because of it.
Yeah.
So that's where that comes from.
Which is kind of sweet, until, you know. And
until you know what they're on about. Until the rest of it. Until this bit specifically, because now... So Tool and Lucas have actually been working together throughout this entire time as roofers in Florida, because Lucas moved in with Otis for a short time. Now, it states that throughout... Okay, so obviously you're going to have conflicting statements, but some people think that this is happening throughout the relationship with Tool. Some think it happened at the end. Basically, he moves in with Otis and Otis's 10-year-old niece, Becky Powell.
Ooh, I remember this bit, but I did not remember that she was 10. Oh, okay.
She's
10,
and he falls in love with her. You can't see me doing air quotes, but that's how they phrase it, but it's fucked. And some say that that's going on throughout the entire gay relationship. Some think it comes on at the end, because what happens is they go, cool, let's get out of Florida. Don't like it here. We're drifters. Let's go. Take niece Becky, who had now fallen for Lucas too and was engaging in a sexual relationship with him.
No!
Yeah.
She's 10! That doesn't happen. That's not allowed.
And that's her uncle's boyfriend. That's basically your uncle now. Like that, yeah, it's gross, isn't it? It's very triangular and disgusting.
That's horrible.
Yeah. So now this bit it makes me wonder about the whole thing, because Becky basically apparently gets homesick and she doesn't like it there. They don't like Texas. So Lucas goes, all right, we'll just go back to Florida then. And they run away. And leave Tool there. Don't tell him where they've gone.
Really? They abandon him?
Yeah, they
abandon
him.
He leaves his adult boyfriend for a 10-year-old girl.
Yeah, which I think fucking speaks volumes as to what sort of kind of person he was and how mature he was in the end anyway.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't... Some reports state that he was also... They always use the word retardation or like mentally retarded, but when they can't find a proper... Like, because you can't like diagnose things that happened in the past. And that's the words that they used for at the time. There's a good chance if you're in a relationship with someone who's got an IQ of 75, you probably don't have one that's far off, because how would you... Like, imagine being in a relationship with Homer Simpson. How would you even do that if you were, you know, not on the same level?
That's and always also, bothered me, because Marge is such a smart lady, and how did Lisa come out so smart as well? Like, they should not be putting up with his shit.
No, I know, mate.
Marge is an angel, and Homer just drinks
like
Marge. Shit, you guys.
He does. He's horrible. He's just always drinking at the bar.
Oh, that
meme
you
about,
sent me yesterday with the with the potato.
What?
The I just think they're neat.
I love her. Good. Yeah, and also we know that he's probably not all right, because he was in a coma for how many years? He was in a coma for 3 days when he was 8, which has fucked him up. So this again solidifies the idea that he doesn't think about the things that he does. He just does it and sees what happens. Tool was so pissed off by this, because you probably would be.
Mate, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, I'd be angry, especially if it was my fucking 10-year-old niece, which is, yeah, so many levels that's fucked up. He was so enraged and betrayed that he went on to kill 9 people in 6 different states in the space of a year and a bit.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into all that, because that's not about Lucas, but I might do a case on that for another episode as a follow-up.
Yes,
because that would be quite interesting.
I'd love to hear about it.
Because, like, off the top of my head, from what I read briefly, he does stuff like lock people in their house and then set fire to it by putting, you know, fire on all the doors and shit. Yeah, like, really, like, fucked up stuff. So that would be quite interesting.
Twisted.
Yeah, exactly. So now we're on to the murder. The real ones that actually did happen. Lucas now gets a job working for an elderly lady called Kate Rich in Texas with Becky. They move into her house and stuff, because they're basically caring for her. But they get kicked out not long afterwards. I think it's only about, you know, 9 months or so, when the neighbours find out that they were cashing checks that were written to Rich. So the old lady gets
a check. So the neighbours are like, don't steal her money, but sure, fuck a 10-year-old next door to us.
Well, this is the thing. I don't know, because, okay, so hang on. She's still like 13. That's really fucked up. All right. But he tells everyone they're married, which is why they seem to be fine with it, I guess.
Okay.
Different time and all that.
I guess it's the South.
Yeah, that too.
Oh, yeah, and the time. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
But then again, it is the 80s. I don't know. But yeah, maybe it is, because, like, think about how many, like, rock stars, that, like, Jimmy Page and fucking David Bowie were fucking 14-year-olds and it was fine in the 80s.
I didn't know that about Bowie. No.
You didn't know that? Oh, hon. Yeah. It's really sad. Jimmy Page as well was on some fucking disgusting stuff.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
The lead guitarist from Led Zeppelin.
Oh, okay.
He had girlfriends that were like 13 and he fucked a girl with a fish once. It's a whole thing. A red snapper specifically,
I'm sorry,
I think.
What?
Yeah. I can actually Google it for you now, mate. Like, I'm sure he penetrated a girl with a red snapper.
My sister caught a red snapper when we were on holiday this summer.
Oh, cute.
We went fishing and she caught one. And my dad ate it. He did not use it in any sort of...
Sorry. It was a mud shark, not a red snapper.
A mud shark? Surely that would be bigger than a just generic fish,
I don't know
though.
What a mud shark looks like.
Right, to Google.
Yeah, that's it. Hang on. How old was she? Yeah, no, like the 80s, everyone was like, oh, well, they're just having fun and just fucking walked on. Okay, basically, this is like a rumor that they all deny, but it must have... I'm assuming they probably did something to her, but they definitely didn't do this. They apparently stuffed pieces of shark into her. Not a whole
Delicious.
Shark, bits of it. And they're all like, of course we didn't do that. And it encouraged a song.
Wonderful.
On Frank Zappa's album. It's a whole thing. But yeah, that was a massive tangent. But yeah, so he was still dating this fucking 12 or 13-year-old. And apparently that was normal back then. So... they have to get kicked out of the old lady's house because the neighbours are like, stop stealing her money, you dick. So they leave. They now find a house and a home with the House of Prayer, which is a Pentecostal commune. Now, Lucas and Becky were given a shack to live in because they told everyone they were a married couple. But I'm sure
so they got
people,
to live together, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm sure if people knew they weren't married, that would have been a big deal. So they're living in secret kind of thing there. And in August of 1982... he drives Becky out to a field in Texas. There, he kills and dismembers her and scatters the parts in the field.
Oh my god, where did that come from?
Yep,
Jesus.
Out of fucking nowhere. Yeah, he just, he kills her and dismembers her. And that's that. Scatters the parts in the field nearby. 3 weeks later, listen to this. He goes back to the old lady and goes, oh, Kate, like, I'm so worried. I can't find Becky anywhere. Can you help me find her? You know her better than I do because, you know, you live with her too.
Does he use that to lure the old lady and then kill her?
Yeah, he takes her out he takes her out to a different part of Texas, like a couple of cities away, to a camping ground and kills her. He stuffs the body in a big drainage pipe. Now, for the next month, he just drifts before returning back to the commune for his final days as a free man. Because he learned he was a suspect in the old lady's disappearance. So what he does is he goes and gets the body. Yeah, obviously. Because he already fucked her over once. He goes and gets the body from the drainage pipe and incinerates it at the commune. Like, in an oven they have there. Yeah, it's gross. So the police arrest him, obviously, because they're like, was it you, mate? It was definitely you, wasn't it? Let's arrest you. And... he takes polygraph and passes it.
Does
so
he?
Like,
so maybe he's
well,
not as stupid.
Couldn't
as
have done it.
As it seems.
Yeah. Maybe he's so fucked up in the head that lying doesn't matter to him. Because polygraphs are just, oh, he's nervous. He probably is lying. So who knows? Yeah, this happens so often on the podcast. Guys, if you're going to do one crime, don't do two at once because you will get caught. Like, that's not.
Exactly.
In the following year, Lucas was arrested for illegal firearm possession.
Why would you do
Why
that?
Why would you do
You're
that
running
after
from
having
murder.
Just killed? Yeah, don't
be a
dick.
For a few years.
Can't be that odd, can it? And it says that basically he was arrested on because of the firearm possession. And while they had him, they managed to get it out of him that he had confessed to the murders. So he confesses while he's in custody. He's charged with
right.
the murders as well. Or at least the murders of Becky and the old lady. And he later claimed that he only confessed because he was under, like, a lot of duress and pressure from mm-hmm. the Texas Rangers. I don't know how true that is, but it's at least interesting. I actually think he just loves to boast about it. Once he realised people
it sounds like
to him
it, yeah.
And, you know, he had a bit of attention. Yeah. Especially when you combine all the
yeah,
other
exactly.
stuff from later
like the,
on as well.
The fact that he is literally bragging and making up numbers and stuff, that does seem more
yeah.
plausible.
So bone fragments were then found in the commune, in the stove. Which they assumed was the old lady's, and the body parts in the field were the right sex and approximate age for Becky, but the coroner couldn't positively identify it for some reason. I'm not sure why. They probably didn't really do DNA and stuff back then. I guess they got to it too late.
Right.
Who knows? Then after 4 days in jail, he admits to it, along with over 100 other murders.
Like, he doesn't have to do
over
that,
the
surely.
Next year,
that's the thing.
No. He doesn't. But I think he just likes getting out of his cell and getting trapped on that human being, because over the next year, he confesses to hundreds of murders. Like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Like, there's no concrete number for it, but he says at least 108 while he was with Tool, and then he confessed to, like, hundreds more after. So, what they did was they were like, right, well, what the fuck? We need a whole task force to work out whether or not he's lying and what he's lying about. So, he gets transferred a few months after his first arrest to Williamson County, Texas, where he admits to 213 further murders.
So it's what, like 300, 400 at the moment?
Yeah, easily. So this task force is working away, and during this time where they're trying to work out whether he's lying or what's actually happened, authorities flew him across states where he was allowed to stay in hotels and motels.
Loved it.
And free food, milkshakes and steaks included in that. So I think it's pretty easy to see why he kept committing to more and more murders if he's already got fucking life in prison. Or on the hook for it anyway. I don't think he was actually convicted by this point. A detective in Dallas makes up crimes to see if Lucas would admit to them, which he did. This was repeated by another detective too in Dallas as
That's really smart, actually.
He's admitting to shit that never even happened. Yeah, it's really clever. When I saw that, I was like, shit, that's good. And I thought that was a nice link to American Vandal, which season two.
Yes! Don't you love it?
Fucking brilliant, mate. So good. I really like this season, actually. Because it's exactly what they do. They go, oh no, you know how this was done. It was done like this. Or it wasn't human shit in the t-shirt canon. And he's like, oh, well, it must have been this then. They're like, yeah, you knew it. You did it all along.
You knew it.
So, yeah. He claimed to have... Okay, this is the most fucked up bit. Like, outlandish, ridiculous shit. So he says, oh, you know the mass suicide in Jonestown, right? Yeah, I gave Jim Jones the cyanide.
No, come on, man. He did not do that.
No, he didn't. He did not do that.
Way better connections than some weird...
Yeah.
Pedophile from drifter man.
Butterfuck Virginia. Yeah, like, what the fuck? He also claims to have committed additional murders in Japan and Spain, even though he'd never left the continent.
I was
going to
say, I bet he's never been out of, like, the southern US.
He couldn't even tell you where Guyana is on a fucking map. I couldn't either, but if he'd been there, he should be able to point it out. So, he confessed to killing people who were still alive, and one article in the Dallas Times Herald pointed out that for one of his for a certain section of his timeline to make sense, he would have had to have traveled 11,000 miles, which is more than four times the width of the US in a single month, in a 13-year-old piece of shit car.
Yeah, that's not happening, is it?
Yeah, it's just not true. Like, none of this adds up, makes sense. He's doing it because he loves the fucking steaks and the nice hotels he gets to sleep in when he gets shipped off to chat shit to another fucking detective in a different state. So, how does this end? In the end, he was found guilty for 9 murders in total, including the murders of Becky and Kate.
Can't you imagine that really pissing him off, just being there like, no, I did more than 9.
I did do it. Well, this is the thing. So, because he changed his mind. He also admits killing an officer in West Virginia as well. And so he receives a death sentence in 1979 for specifically the murder of a Jane Doe in Texas, who was known only as Orange Socks.
Aww.
Because of the clothing she was wearing. The thing is, he admitted to it, but if the police had bothered to fucking... If the police actually cared, they would have done the research and realised he couldn't have committed this one because he was working as a roofer in Florida with Tool at the time.
They just wanted to give him the death sentence, didn't they?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. They were like, I'm sick of this shit. Get rid. I'm done flying him around and fucking pandering to what he wants because he'll just, you know... Because he thinks that he can just chat shit to us. He soon after began to recant most of his confessions. So all the ones about Jonestown, he went back on that. And all the 108 or whatever, he went back on that.
That's the only way he can get attention now, isn't it? Because they don't care if he killed more people because they know that he's a liar about that. So now he starts recanting because he's like, give me more attention, please.
Exactly. So in the end, he goes, nope, I only killed my mum, Becky, and old lady Kate. He explicitly states, I am not a serial killer. Now, his death sentence was brought down to life in prison by then governor of Texas, George W. Bush. Interesting. And then he dies from a heart attack in prison on March 13th, 2001.
Good riddance.
Yeah, job done, mate. Madness, isn't it?
That means that my sister never saw a world where Henry Lee Lucas was alive. That's quite nice to know. What a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, literally. To put it lightly. What a dick. Yeah. I probably, they could have gone into way more detail about all the shit that he admitted to and, you know, the Jane Doe.
But he lied about it.
But honestly, I can't do a 3-hour long podcast. Yeah, exactly. He lied about it and I can't do a 3-hour long episode because I'll cry. So, yeah, like, what a dick. I had no idea about any of this. The only reason I remembered who, like, the case was because of his dad, no legs, yeah, legs. I forgot about that.
Yeah. See, that's what I mean. That's the only bit that I usually remember. So, because the rest of the crimes are just, they just kind of don't even matter because most of them are made up. So, because you can't tell what's real and what's not, there's not really a narrative there. So,
that's it. That's exactly it.
So, it's not like someone like Dahmer, though, who you can. I can remember the whole story because it is a story.
It is a
narrative, right? You know, he's living in his grandma's basement and then he goes and moves into an apartment and he targets young boys and blah, blah, blah. Like, there's a whole narrative there. Whereas with, and also he sees the cyclist or the jogger or whatever.
Yeah.
But with this, it's like, yeah, fucked up childhood. That's easy to remember because there's such weird characters in it. And then after that, it's like, well, he maybe killed this person, maybe not.
And he says he did this, but we know that he probably didn't.
Maybe
but
he was.
No one cares.
Maybe
anyway.
He was in a relationship with Otis Tool. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe, you know, he definitely was fucking that girl, but, you know, everyone thought they were married. Yeah. You know, it's all just very weird, wishy-washy.
Maybe he was gay.
Yeah.
Because that's another thing. Just through clicking about online, I saw that it was insinuated that because Otis was a bigger man than he was, and Lucas was so used to being bossed around and sexually manipulated by older men while he was younger, he just kind of went along with it, which is why he ran away with Becky.
Oh, so maybe he wasn't actually into men. He was just used to it. And then he finds a girl and he's like, I like this.
Yeah, but then again, he didn't have to fucking live with the dude. So, yeah, also, that's it. Like, we just can't tell what's true and what's not because he's such a dick.
You know what,
like,
I'm thinking as well? Is if you are into men, a 10-year-old girl is flat-chested. She's not a woman because she's, you know, she's not gone through puberty yet. So maybe, you know, sexuality is a fluid thing. And, you know, pedophilia isn't a sexuality, it's an illness. But I can see how maybe his attraction to men might translate to a prepubescent girl, potentially.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So maybe he was only into men, but for some reason, Becky, he was more into the whole... Because pedophiles aren't interested in women or men. They're interested in being able to dominate someone, you know? They're interested in being able to manipulate and control and completely own somebody, which, you know, is fun when it's two consenting adults, but when the thing that allows you to manipulate and control them is the fact that they are, you know...
A literal child. Yeah.
That's so. Yeah, maybe that's what he was more into rather than the penis vagina thing. Who knows?
As an aside, if you're interested in the psychology of that, I really recommend Louis Theroux's documentary, which is on Netflix. It's basically on a paedophile prison, and it's all about whether or not you can actually be rehabilitated out of something like that. I strongly recommend it. It is a bit. It's one of those ones where it really makes your stomach turn because he has lots of interviews with people who are like, I cannot help this. This is who I am, and I think it's fine. And then it's also really sad because you've got loads of people who, you know, it came on out of nowhere 3 years ago, and they can't get rid of it. But it's really interesting from a psychological perspective. So yeah, go watch that one.
Oh boy.
But yeah, so that's Henry Lee Lucas in a nutshell. Bloody hell.
Well,
yeah.
Thanks, mate.
That's all right, mate.
Thanks.
Your turn next week.
Yeah.
Is there any other bits and bobs? Oh, we need to do killing it.
Yeah.
Don't we?
What are you killing this week, Meg?
I am killing my behavior as a professional because I only swore one time in front of the kids and it was just one kid.
And it's been like 2 weeks as well. So that is impressive, mate.
It's hard. I've gone from working in kitchens where everyone's swearing in 100 different languages to not being able to call the students mate. You know, I've done that quite a lot. I had to catch myself because I feel like a twat immediately afterwards, but we're getting there.
Wow.
What about you? What are you killing it?
I'm killing it at dealing with my mental health. Because before we started recording, I was telling Meg about how my life's shit and all of that. But actually, I was having a shower earlier today and I was like, everything's so horrible. And then I was like, hang on a minute. I'm literally having a shower. A few years ago, when I was in like my most depressive stage, I wouldn't be able to shower or eat or, you know, make myself a fucking cup of tea. And the fact that I'm having a bad patch at the moment, but every single day I've had a shower, every single day I've eaten something, even if yesterday it was an entire family pack of Kraft mac and cheese, you know, it's still food. I'm still doing it. You know, I've been looking after the animals. I cleaned out the bunny cage today. Like, I'm actually doing, and even if it's not the stuff that I'm supposed to be doing, like, you know, jobs and my masters and whatever.
Nah, fuck that. Don't worry about that.
Considering I'm handling this mental health bad patch pretty darn well, I think. So I'm, yeah, that's my humble brag.
No, man, you're smashing it. I'm very proud. Thanks, mate. Good.
I
just want to give a little shout out to my mate Jody, mm-hmm. who's been listening to the podcast. We've been doing together for the last how many years? And yeah, he likes us. So hi, Jody.
Cute.
Have we got any other bits? Oh, we've had some really nice comments, as always, on Twitter, mm-hmm. Which is nice. And Instagram as well. So thank you to everyone. You know who you are. Where can we be found on the web, Lux?
On the interwebs. We can be found at Killing It Crime on Twitter, Killing It Crimecast on Instagram. We have a Facebook page, which you can like, which is called Killing It The Crimecast. You can email us at killingitcrimecast@gmail.com. And, oh, buy our merch.
Buy our stuff.
And if you would like to be a patron, and that thing means that you give us a bit of money each month, we give you exclusive content and ad-free episodes. So go check that out if you fancy hearing a bit more of our lovely dulcet tones. Also, Meg, can I tell them about the nickname I came up for us?
Yes, just don't mention my last name.
No, I'm not going to. But essentially, if you were to come up with a ship name for me and Meg, it would be Hells. And I was thinking, we're both ladies. We're both pretty ladies. So Hells Bells, as in Bells. And it's like, Hells Bells. And also, we're into true crime and it's kind of relevant. I don't know. I was really proud of that. I told my dad and he was like, that's good. And, you know, Jimmy doesn't give his approval very easily. So
you're right, he doesn't.
So, yeah. I was pretty proud
of that. Yeah, that's us. Good job, mate. Good job on the nickname.
Thanks. All right.
That's been the podcast.
Hope you enjoyed this extra special Halloween spooktacular with Meg telling us about a gross old man. Tune in to hear about an even grosser, even older old man next week.
Oh, he's worse.
No, he's worse.
Get ready for that.
All right, bye, guys.
See you soon. Bye.